Everyone, I'm glad that you're here this morning. I'd like to invite you to find your chair. I'm being very disciplined about our start time this morning because, well, you'll see. We have Pastor Reddy here, and he's going to speak. And then whatever time he doesn't use, I'm going to speak. This could be a long service. So we're going to go right ahead and get started this morning. Join me as we commit our ways to the Lord and ask Him to bring them to pass this morning. Our great God and Savior, we thank You for the privilege to be here, joined together in one name with, I pray, united hearts that would fear You, that would reverence You, that would give You the honor and the glory that You are due. Please hear our prayer from heaven. An answer in the service today that the words that are spoken, the songs that are sung, the prayers that are prayed, somehow, by the work of Your Spirit, will change us, will sanctify us, will cause us to grow from grace to grace and from glory to glory. We look to You for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me share a couple of announcements as we begin this morning. We're looking forward to have lunch together. You saw the tables, and the dessert table there is getting filled up. My sons took note of, didn't they? Smiling about that. So I hope that you can join us. If you didn't bring anything, that's no problem at all. There's going to be plenty of food we always have, and so we hope that you will join us for lunch just after this service. We also want to just pass a word of congratulations to two graduates that we know about, Katrina. Is Katrina here upstairs? Okay, well, maybe she's hearing through the sound system here. Congratulations to Katrina, and also to Taylor Begley, who completed his degree as well. We praise the Lord for that. And are looking forward to see those folks after the service and greet them and give them a word of congratulations for the desire accomplished, sweet to the soul. This evening we'll be here at 6 o'clock for more worship and fellowship. Zechariah chapter 2. I just had a marvelous time studying that passage. I can't tell you. Well, I will tell you if you come, then I'll try to anyway. That will be here this evening in Howell. Pastor and Mrs. Reddy are scheduled to go up to Howell this afternoon, have partake in the 5:30 service. So if you guys can come and that are in Howell and join that would be wonderful and a great encouragement to all. Tuesday, there's a brunch at the home of Kevin and Christy Collins. Thank you very much for your hospitality in advance. And we'll hear a brief message from Pastor Reddy and enjoy some food and fellowship there as well. That's at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Collins home in Ypsilanti. You can see the Wednesday activities and Saturday morning activities. Take note of the calendar, men, as to who is on tap for leading that ministry on Saturday. I'd like to invite anyone who wants to participate in a Bible Institute class starting May 11, 1 week from today in the Sunday school hour. We're going to start working through some biblical apologetics. And I hope that you can come for that. So during Sunday school, Brother James is getting his summer break. So that leaves the responsibility for teaching his class upon someone else, ultimately me. So we're going to work through some materials there as well. Looks like next Saturday, May 10, our food drive is going to be coming to a close. And we'll put out that material for our letter carrier to pick up and use for that food drive. So if you have anything you can bring tonight or Wednesday, as long as it gets here before Saturday, we can put that out as well. Some of you remember the Michkowski family, with how many children? I can't remember. 10 children. Yes, they are going to be coming and ministering music on June 1st. You don't want to miss it. As part of the service, they'll have a number of musical numbers. And they are bringing, Lord willing, their harp, which will be a little bit different than what we normally have. So we're looking forward to that for sure. And there are the rest of the June activities in July and August as well. You can hopefully have those on your calendar. I'm going to invite Brother Dan Reeves, if you will come and lead us in our hymns this morning. Hymn number 4, we're starting with hymn number 4, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Hymn number 4. Let's all stand and join our brother as he leads us in song.
Would you stand with me, please? Hymn number 4, which I always called May Jesus Christ Be Praised, but hymn number 4.
When morning gilds the skies, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Of my hand work or prayer, to Jesus I repair. May Jesus Christ be praised. The sadness fills my earthly bliss, my comfort still is this. May Jesus Christ be praised. In heaven's eternal bliss, the loveliest strain is this. May Jesus Christ be praised.
Other end of the hymnal, back past the index, number 818. 818, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. you so much. Please be seated.
Our reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 11, where we've been studying. If you could take your Bibles and join me there in Romans chapter 11. We'll enjoy reading, and then later, time permitting, some more exposition on one of the greatest mysteries of the ages, which God has revealed to us through the Apostle Paul, through the Spirit, in the Bible. Romans chapter 11. I say then, has God cast away His people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away His people, whom He foreknew. Or do you not know what the Scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace, otherwise work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness, in part, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The Deliverer will come out of Zion, and He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that He might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become His counselor? Or who is first given to Him and it shall be repaid to Him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Amen. I trust God will seal that word to your heart this morning, help you to understand it as well. I'm going to invite JL if she will come and minister the song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," as I invite the men to come forward and take up your offering for the Lord's work here. Thank you, sister, for saying that. Amen. Oh, what striving would cease if people would just realize how sweet it is to trust in Jesus and just take Him at His Word. I'm going to invite Brother Duane, if he will, lead us in Thanksgiving prayer. Thank you, men, for helping us. At this time, I'd like to invite the ladies' ensemble to come and share with us how great the love. Thank you, ladies. Do this morning, just to change the program just slightly, I'm going to invite the young people, if they would like to go to their junior church, I don't know what it is, their junior church class at this time, and while they're making their way out, I'm going to introduce and then invite Pastor Reddy to come and share with us this morning. Pastor Reddy and his wife have been friends of Ministry of Fellowship Bible Church for more years than I know. And for a long time they knew Dr. and Mrs. Sachs, and then I came into their acquaintance, oh, maybe 15 years ago or so. Hard to say now, time has gone so fast. But we have enjoyed regular phone calls with our brother and his ministry. One of the things that he has assured me of is that he is very frequently in prayer for this church, for for me personally, for many of you by name. If you want somebody to pray for you, you make sure to meet Pastor Reddy today and make sure he knows your face and your name. And then he can pray for you much better that way, having come into personal contact with you. And so we appreciate our brother and his ministry. He's going to tell you a little bit about himself and word of encouragement and perhaps exhortation, and he might get into just plain old preaching here, but as the Lord leads you and as you deem best, brother, you have a good piece of time this morning. You can take the rest of the time or part of the time or however you want to do it, but we're at your disposal. Please come and minister to us, Brother Reddy. We look for God's hand upon you and upon us through your ministry. Thank you, brother. Thank you. My brother came in late last night, so I don't know where he's at on his clock. If he's fully awake or fully asleep or somewhere in the middle, but thank you, brother.
Thank you. I'm going to speak a little bit in tongues, and then I will greet you. San Bonani, Vanakum, Namaskaram, Namaste, Salam Malikum, Gumoro, Shalom. You understood that? All right. But you didn't understand the others. It's all greetings in various languages. Some of the languages I know. There's only two words in the English vocabulary. Don't change. And all these languages I've been greeting you with, they also say the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Wherever you go, that word never changes. So this morning, greetings to you from me and my wife, Cynthia, here. We have been praying, and whenever I tell my wife, I don't know, the Lord wants me to visit the U.S. again. But you know, this is a long preparation. It's over 6 years now since we came here to Fellowship Bible Church. And so, God has a plan and purpose for me to be here. I feel for you. I pray for you. And in the plan of God, He has brought me and my wife here. Well, it's a long travel. You must know that we have left here on Friday evening at 6 o'clock. We left Durban. Then we traveled to Dubai. It's a long way off. From Dubai, it's about 12 hours drive to the U.S., but we landed quite far from here, and we had to come, and we thought we got lost here at Detroit. It was dark, my eyes, well, I have problem with my eyes, I have problem inside. Outside, I'm all right, you know? And so I just prayed, I said, Lord, where this man is, please send him. So then we saw Pastor. And we are here this morning. I count it a real great privilege. And, you know, you all are special to us, Pastor Sachs and Pastor Matt. You know, they're very closely not related. And sometimes we say, well, these people are related to us because they are relatives, but we all are family of God. Right, that's how we are related. Relationship takes place through blood. And so we all, at what Pastor Matthew had said about the blood here, so we all are related to one another. It's not a matter of color. It's not a matter of nation. It's a matter of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We all are brothers and sisters. We may look different. We may come from different walks of life, but you are one in Christ. My wife knows that if, you know, wherever I go, I can be sitting at a bus station. I don't know people. You know, I'll be sitting in the plane. I can talk to them. And I tell you, I am so and so. I'm from somewhere. I'm a Christian. Right? I'm a Christian. I remember once a Jewess, we were traveling via Israel. And we happened to go to the place where the Lord served this, the last communion. We went to the upper room. You know, and we saw other things too, where he had been crucified. On our way to the U.S., we stopped there. And so, God has given us two things. Eyes to see and a mouth to speak. So, we have a message to preach. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we don't take anything with us. We only take what we have done for the Lord Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Leave all things behind. No matter what we have acquired, what we have saved, we don't take anything. But we take with us what we have done for Christ. So we don't want to go there empty-handed. So this morning, I just want to talk to you a little bit about a Spirit-filled church. I'm not talking about what's happening with the charismatics. I am talking what is happening to those who stand for the truth with no compromise. I know that Fellowship Bible Church is just like that. You know, we don't stand for compromise. We don't want to do anything in the flesh. We want to do in the Spirit, as the Spirit of God directs our thoughts and our activities. We want to do something that will bring honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read to you. Just turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. This is not obsolete, right? God's word is truth and it stands. And so, we just read that. We'll read from verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together at all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, every man as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. We don't do the adding. He does it. You know, the Spirit of God convicts, converts, and communicates the truth. Let us look at several items here of a Spirit-filled church. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God has to say. It's not what Pastor Reddy is saying matters. It's what His Word says matters. So I must be obedient to that. So as the Lord brought to my attention, you know, a spiritual church attracts the sinner. Look at verse number 37. And when they heard this, who these people were there at the day of Pentecost. Right? Outsiders. Peter and the apostles did not know who these people were, but all came there. When they heard, God, you know, wants to use every one of us. There's a word out there, want to hear. Want to hear the truth. But who's going to take and go? Who's going to take and go? Who's going to take that responsibility in obedience to Christ? That's what is left. What we have done here, what we have achieved, doesn't matter. But what we have done for Christ matters. So when, you know, the church came together, there's something happening. You know, there's nothing like a good testimony of the grace of God. There's nothing like it. No matter where you're coming from, what background, what you have acquired, doesn't matter. Let's ask the question, that includes myself, are we attracting sinners to come to Christ? You may not be a good speaker. You may not have all the IQ. You may not have all the education. But the Spirit of God dwells in your heart. Your faithfulness that He will take and articulate these truths that will bring conviction and conversion to men and women. You can do it. You can do that. You can do that. You know, a young man went to study. He wanted to study the Bible. But when he went to school to start, you know, to learn, it was the custom of that particular college that everybody had to preach at least one sermon while they are there. So the turn of this man. So he didn't know how to preach now. So the person in charge of the chapel period said, "Look here, you are next in preaching." So the day came. The day came. He told the person in charge, "Look here, I can do anything. I can mow the lawn. I'll wipe the windows. I can polish the floor. I can, shine this place up. Please exclude me from preaching. I don't know how to preach." But the man said, "Look, you will have to." So he came and he stood in the presence of all the students there. He said, "Gentlemen, you know what I was going to preach about?" Everybody made like this. "So if you don't know what I'm going to preach about, I don't know myself." So he prayed and he went away. So the man in charge ran after him and said, "Look here, I don't think you finished. Tomorrow you'll have to preach. Because every day is chapel day." So he came the next day and he looked at the people and said, "Do you all know what I'm going to preach about?" Everybody nodded their head. "Oh," said, "since you know what I'm going to preach about, I don't have to preach." So he prayed and he went away. But then the man in charge said, "Look here, there's no escapism here. You'll have to preach. Tomorrow you're preaching." So he came and stood behind the pulpit there and he looked at the people for a little while. He said, "People, do you know what I'm going to preach about?" A great silence now. So some of them made like this. "Oh yes, I see. Yes, some people know that what I'm going to preach about. So those who know, tell those who don't." And he closed in prayer. But you know, people, look, this is what is our obligation. Go and tell those people, those who know, go and tell those people who don't know. Live it by your testimony. Live it by your testimony. Your neighbors, your friends. You know, I have a lot of unbelieving friends where I'm staying in a complex. I don't know what you call it here. So I befriend them and I pray for these people. You know, so that they may see Christ in me first of all. Not that just I have to communicate this truth to them. They must see Christ in my life. You know, the way I do things and how I behave. And they must see that. They must be attracted to these things. Right? It's important. What they do is their business. But my business is to live for Christ so that they may see Christ in me. So ask yourself, I am not the judge, but you will have to stand before the great judge of all the earth and give an account of this. So this early church, what has transpired there? You know, they had a good testimony. Right? Christ must be the Christ of your heart. He must be the Christ of your home. He must be the Christ of the highway. Where you go and work, where people know you better than your neighborhood. That they see something about Jesus. You know, prior to my conversion, well, I used to do what others were doing. So I worked in a path lab. And so all of them, you know, would speak. And I don't want to talk about that kind of a language. It's beyond language. All right. So, but when Christ came into my heart, when He transformed my life, right, it's not a change of a new leaf or something. It's not reformation. It's regeneration. So no longer that kind of language they will try to communicate with. So I had to, 100 of us work nearly there. They will respect me as a Christian. I didn't make the change, but Christ made the change. All glory it is. We should do some very funny things which are unchristian. But when Jesus comes in, new life begins. It's not, you know, churchianity. It's true Christianity. So when they saw these people, you know, what has taken place there, the Bible tells us that this has been a spiritual church where they were obedient to Christ, the command of Christ, and they preached. They were pricked in their hearts. See, I come from Hinduism. All isms are false. Right? I come from there. My grandparents were from India. They taught us a lot of things. You know, in our blindness, well, we used to do those type of things. I used to do. I was small. I had to respect the elders. Right? They taught us many things. But they're not true. They were sincere people. A lot of people are very sincere people in their church, but some number of them are sincerely wrong. Right? They need to know Christ personally and intimately. That's very important for us. So, He will do some work in you. You never be afraid of anything. Don't be afraid of anything unless your lifestyle is not right. Right? So, your conviction must, you know, and your belief system, you know, is very important. So they'll listen to you. They can mock you, do whatever it is. You can be a different man. You become a new man in Christ. And so, beside the good testimony, you know, they were able, they were obedient to the command of Christ, going into all the world. Leave that. You cannot go, excuse me, you may not go from here to India to preach. In your own world, in your business world, in your working world, in your neighbor world, with your friend, you can preach the gospel. You don't have to articulate truths. Live the truth. They may see the truth in you. This is a true child of God. This is all what we need. That live, be living letters. It says, read and known of all men. Living, not dead. You see? And you can do it. God can do. The greatest of all teachers had with him 12. One betrayed, but the 11 took that stand. And they changed the then known world. So Fellowship Bible Church can do that. You see, the message of the gospel pricks the hearts. Why is that? Because the Spirit of God touches their hearts. They say they prick their hearts. That's what he says here. They came under such conviction. There were no alternatives. Only alternative was, what must we do to be saved? You have families. You have friends. You have neighborhood. You have workmates. Right? Just live it for Christ. Just live it for Him. Let them see the change that comes in you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. New creature. Old things are passed away, but all things become new. How that is possible. You know, I used to be a real sportsman. I used to love sports. I know a lot of people like sports here. We have different kind the other side. All right. Yeah. And here it is very different. Right? I was involved for every Sunday, every Saturday rather, Sunday, weekday. All of these things. I love this. This became real idol to me. You know, being sporty is sometimes a crazy type of thing. I do watch sports. And one day while I was going home with all my kit, the young fella said, "Are you a Christian? And you're going desecrating the Lord's day." So I had no words to tell him. Mind your own business or what? You know? So I went and sold the old kit. That was the beginning of the end. I was not sorry. Some of my friends said, "You're going out of your head. You can't do this." I said, "No. I have found something better." See, when we come to Christ, it's something different altogether. You see? You know, when you come, there's something happens in your life. And I used to go out in the street to give tracts. My wife and I, we worked very hard, uphill, downhill, wherever it is. Today, those people have two cars. They can't do half the work that we have done because the Lord was with us. You know, God has endowed every believer with a special gift to utilize for the extension of their own kingdom. So this body also can be extended. This body also can be edified. So then we must get onto our knees and ask the Lord, like the Apostle Paul said, "What will thou have me to do?" Right? Coming to church is one thing. Doing the will of God within that, because God sends you to a place to come and fellowship and worship and to utilize all what God has given you for His glory. So when they saw these people, they said, these are ignorant people. They didn't have the academics, but they endured from power from on high. God was working in their lives. Their lifestyle has been very different. You know, I've been praying and I've been talking to a pastor. I said, "Look, I like to have personal relationship, personal encounter. As I come to the church, I'm interested not only in, you know, their well-being, but their spiritual well-being. I want to talk to them. You don't know how I feel inside." See, as you age, something else takes place. The infirmity comes. Right. So part of my diet is taking pills. You know, what you call, where we lived, they take the other kind of pills to keep them nice, you know. Do you know where we stayed in Chatsworth? Well, we have about 30,000 of them, that's more than, maybe about 40,000 of them. But you know, it has become the largest drug world in all the world where we lived. Drugs. Children or drugs. They sell it in school. USA, with all its population, comes nowhere. So you could imagine, they need Christ. Ask the Lord, sincerely pray this morning. I don't know to whom the Lord is speaking. You may be seated here this morning. Don't let that, you know, the message coming from the Spirit of God, not from me. Don't worry about me. Don't let it just pass from this end of your ear to come out this side. Well, anyway, there's no old truth. Right? But this is what happens. We hear. What do we hear? When a servant of the Lord stands here, you must know he is representative of God Almighty. Then when we come, we start listening. And when we listen, when that pricks our heart, the Spirit of God will take those truths and seal it in your heart. So when you go home from here, you meditate on those things. Lord, and be truthful. Lord, you have spoken today. You spoke to my heart. Maybe the entire message, well, for some, not you, where I have been ministering. All right, they come and perform the duty and pay the dues and nothing else. And all those things happen on Sunday. That's not important. What happens between Sunday is more important because there are more days. Right? Sunday is only one day. You got six other days to live for Christ. And you may be here this morning, and the Spirit of God may be talking to you. He may be, you could have endowed some gifts in your life, and you want to utilize that. And yet, he has sent your servant, your pastor here, go and talk to him. This is not one man's show. Right? The man is there. God has called a man to help us, to guide us, to tell us the truth. And so we take the truth and apply it to our lives. And we all come like the Apostle Paul. Lord, what will thou have me to do? All right. Now, that's not only thing. You know, not only the spiritual church as a good testimony, or they preach the gospel, but the spiritual church is a praying church. Oh, yes. Read this one. You know, they prayed. Look, I want to tell you, you are only strong as your prayer. Understand that? When I have been in that ministry, not that I'm out of that ministry, but I'm doing different things. I was just telling my wife, when I get back from here, I want to work with the, well, we use a colloquial expression, you know, hobos. You know who are hobos? You know tramps? You know people in the street, sleeping in the street? I meet people of, you know, that caliber. I want to talk to them. And I have a number of them that I talk to. Try to help those people. You never know what God can do to those people. You just don't know. He can change those people. He can change the lives of people. is not just turning a new leaf. It's not reformation, I said. It's transformation. By the Spirit of God, you'll never be the same. There's something happens within. There's a change takes place. I worked with drug addicts. I worked with gangsters. I worked with alcoholics. To spend time with these people, I said, people at church, they'll come nicely to church. So weekend comes, well, they're under the spell. They're under that spirit. Another spirit, you know. And when they meet their friends, because the body is addicted to those things, they'll go smoke these things out. And they'll go fight. But it took time that, you know, God had to work in their life. We had to pray for some time. They came to a place of real dedication. And they can do what I am doing. See? Give your life. Total life. Not part of your life. Give total life. You see? He wants to use you. We are His mouthpiece. He does that not by the click of your finger. One man cannot do this thing. He wants the entire body to function. So if God has given you some gifts and become seriously involved, it's much easier for us, you know, to take money and put there. Get and come and patronize the assembly. It's easy for that. If that's all what the Lord has needed, our churches will be packed up. That's easy. Right? Sometimes people live for three things. You know, only three times they go to church. Right? When they are born, because they must be dedicated. Right? Yeah, some people say consecrated. So when they find a woman, then they must get married. So they must come to church. Or when they cannot speak anymore, lying in the casket, they must come. They must find a minister to get them buried. You know. So they go to church when they hatched, matched, and dispatched. You know? So, you're not that way. I have people like that. Right. As a church should be a praying church. The Bible tells us they continued not only teaching those people, but they teaching the apostle doctrine, but they had that fellowship and they were breaking bread from house to house and in prayer. They had to bend your knees. Pray. Look here. Praying is not easy, my friend. You're only strong as your prayer. So, think about this. That when we start the day, we start with prayer. We start with God. It's important for us. So how do I pray? Ask my wife. I get early hours of the day when everything is quiet. Then I learn to bend my knees before the Lord and intercede on the behalf of all those people I know around the world. That includes the church here, the pastor too. Right? We are here because of the prayer of other people. That God hears that prayer. And He works in the life of individual people. And so, think about it. You know, a praying man is a strong man. He's not a weakling. He may have the academics. He may have the IQ. But he doesn't have power over the one that attacks people and blinds people, the devil himself. You see, you don't fight for the devil. He must fight and flee. So, a spiritual church is a praying church, my friend. And a spiritual church will multiply. Read those passages. There's so much in that passage. They multiplied, you know, and they carried on. See, because the prayer, you know, a spiritual church not only multiplies, but maintain the truth. Today we have everything, you know, all over the place, and where false teaching has come. But you have the truth. Right? Teach the truth. Practice the truth. Live that truth. So, they... And then what happens? And not only they pray, you know, they experience the transformation, the transforming power of God. And God had done some miracles. It's not that making the lame walk, the blind see, you know, and raise the dead. No, not talking about that. God says he made many wonders. Wonders of family, they change. Wonders of individuals, they change. They're not the same people. They're out there in the street. They're out there in the neighborhood. They're out there in that school. And they look at these people. There's something happened. There's something really happened. It happened inside. And it's showing outside. You know, you at wherever university. You know, my son was going to university and he was studying medicine. So he came one day and told me, Daddy, you know what? You know the lecturers there, the doctors, they're all taking alcohol, they're all smoking, and they teaching us, you know, how to take care of this body now. How do I work this out? I said, son, God will send somebody with you, to you, that will be like-minded. God did send, you know. And so, he survived that. There's a day when he comes, when he leaves home from the time that he has been very young, going to school, he will pray and read his Bible and go to school. He wrote his, you know, specialist exam, and they're very tough. His friends who are doctors have failed 3 times the same exam. And he said, Daddy, some have failed 2 times, some have failed 3 times. I feel sorry. And the professor said, look, you will also fail. But you know, he passed that exam the first time. He said, Daddy, it's not me, Daddy. It's the Lord Jesus, Daddy. Right. So he's got his MD now. So, this is what's all about. Trust in God. You may be here going through some problems, people. We all have. A man that is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. Right. But God comes, intervenes. See, that's a miracle of all things. And changes have taken place. Look, this morning, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, therefore, if any man be in Christ, or any woman, any young person be in Christ, is a new creation. All things are past, Bill. All things become new. If nothing happened in your life, there must be something wrong with your life. Nothing wrong with the gospel. Right? Gospel is truth. So because you never allowed Christ to take full control to bring about the change, it can change you. It's very important for us. Think about that. Right? That's not all. A church, the Bible tells us, not only that, they sold the possession and imparted them to all that had need. Every man that had need. I'm glad that you all are participating in missions. It's important. And I want to share with pastors some of the people that I'm praying for, some of the missions that I'm praying for, and some of the trials and suffering. We're living in a world we don't know nothing about this. Right? I'm praying for 50 countries that are persecuting Christians. It's just sad to hear about these things. Pray for missions all over the world. Sad. Isn't that? But they're not giving up their faith. We in a free world. What are we doing? So they sold everything. And they brought money to give people that have need. You go any part of the world, that need exists. It's not just about giving money. It's about giving yourself. You see, when you give yourself, everything what you have belongs to Jesus. Everything belongs to Him because He has hold of you. You see, because you have surrendered your life to Him. So what you have, so then you become a missionary. You have a vision. You become a visionary. You get the point? The old saying, when people's hearts are converted, their pockets are inverted. You know? Right. So this is what you do. When we help the poor, the Bible tells we are lending to the Lord. He is the blesser, not the church. Understand? He blesses this. Right. I'm just briefing you, you know, on this. A spiritual church encourages its membership. Say they went house to house, helping those people and selling that. Now, with one accord, they went breaking bread from house to house. What that has been, I don't know. And the joy that they had. You know, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness depends on circumstances, happenings, you know. Right, if I have a lot of money, if I had a big car, nice car to drive around, and, you know, nice big house and all of that, I'm happy. But when all the things go, that happiness went with that. But joy comes from the Lord. Whether I have it or don't have it, doesn't matter. Because I have Him who can supply all those needs. He'll give better things for me. Understand? He'll give better things. You know, I was just telling Pastor Matt, I got a lot of things to tell you. What God has done in our lives. You know, in the ministry, we moved 16 times. You understand? We moved 16 times. We lived in circumstances, I can't believe it. Now I think about it. Then I didn't think about it. All we thought about the ministry. Right? I'll give you an instance. This is all the Lord's doing, and He took care of that. In a bed, about that wide, we call it three-quarter bed. When my eldest son was born, my wife and I and my son were sleeping in the bed. Because we had nothing. You know, church planting is not this easy. There's no money. But when you grow up and you mature, then you know what this is all about. You know, next morning you wake up, you have to go to college and Your body is paining. But God took over care of all that. Now we think about how we did it. But God was in it. When we were there, we never thought about that. All what we thought about saving God. But God took care of that. It's wonderful. Just try it, my people. If you're not there in that, try it. Think of it. No man is too old to serve the Lord. Neither any man is too young to start serving the Lord. Do it while you have that time. Simply because you only live day at a time. You get? You prepare for tomorrow, but you never know what a day may bring forth. You just don't know. What are you going to present to the Lord? Right. So a spiritual church encourages its membership. They grow. And the Bible says there, you know, there has been growth. They were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. I don't add to the church. The Lord adds. That's what he's saying here. Such as should be saved. So this morning, think about this. There's a lot that I can preach about these things. But think about it. You are here this morning. You heard by the hearing of the ear. I wonder this morning if that penetrated our hearts and we have a vision for the Christ. That you and I take those challenges and start living a new kind of life. Life that where Christ would be honored and glorified. Where Christ would be exalted. Where people can see that you is a revolutionary. So that God can use you. And he may be speaking to you this morning. I don't know. I don't know what your heart is like. I don't know what you're thinking about this morning. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know one thing. God has a plan and purpose for you. Fulfill that. And receive the benefit. Enjoy. Enjoy not your comfort. Enjoy the fellowship with the Lord. Enjoy that salvation. And live it out for the Lord. Let's pray. Father and our God, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and care. Thank you, Lord, for your love. That Christ came to set men and women free. So this morning, help us. Give us the encouragement. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom, Spirit of God, that you'll seal the words that have been preached here this morning into the hearts of the hearers. In Jesus' name we ask mercies. Amen.